Now, this may sound like a TBN program, right? Praise the Lord. I don't know if anybody of you have heard this before, but I hope that that's not what it all sounds like. It's not just the title. I hope it sounds like something that we want to experience and have in our lives. Something that we yearn for. Something that just slips out of the tips of our tongues. Right? Praise you, God. Thank you for all what you do in our lives. As 2017 comes to an end, I bet you can make a big list of the things that didn't go right. I mean, in our eyes, right, there are so many things that just simply don't click. They don't go according to our plans. We can make a list of natural disasters that have battered people all around the earth. I bet we can make a list of instances where we felt like God had simply abandoned us. That we felt like God had gone on vacation and forgotten about us. I bet you can make lists of the times that you've been hurt. And not always by that person that cut you off on the highway. Right? It's not always just that stranger, but sometimes we've been hurt by loved ones. People who are close to us. And I'm sure that if we set ourselves to the task, we can make lists and lists and lists all day long. I remember my family when I was growing up. They had a different way of celebrating than making lists. At the end of the year, there was a big party. And you know that I'm like that. We had a time of singing, of playing, of eating at home. And then we followed that with our cherished parrandas. Those are the times where it's like caroling, right? We bring music to the people, friends and so on. So at that time we would go out from our operations center, which was my parents' house. And we started visiting other family and friends in their houses and just bring Christmas music, joyful songs about the hen that was going to be eaten the next day. I mean, all kinds of things. It was sort of a ritual. It was a thing, you know, we gathered together and we say, okay, let's visit so-and-so, and we'll go in our cars and we'll stop, you know, three or four houses away. We get out of the cars, get all our instruments together, get the lyrics all lined up, and then we'd, you know, quietly walk to their houses and check if the lights were on. And then we would start. Pow, right? You know, we just blasted them with all the noise that we could make. And we start just singing. And the idea, of course, was if they were sleeping, just to wake them up. I mean, that was it. And, of course, the expectation is just that it's not a matter of waking up, but it's a matter of entering the house. It's a matter of opening the refrigerator and, you know, getting whatever was in there, eating, drinking, hot chocolate, whatever it was. Just a matter of getting together. And after a little bit, we would say, okay, who's next? And that family who we had knocked on their doors were invited to get dressed and to follow with us. I mean, we would start 12, 20 people in the house, and by the end of the night, there'll be 80. Now think about that, right? I remember once we had 100 people, trombones, trumpets. I mean, it was hilarious. Now, the last stop of the night was strategically planned because we really needed a stop where we could know if the family were good cooks or not. It was strategic, right? Because we knew, you know, who was good at this, because of course that last stop, that's when we would have our chicken soup with rice and we would sing while they were cooking, and we would just rejoice waiting for the soup. And once the soup was ready, we'd eat, we'd play some more songs, and then we would depart each one to our homes. But there's always a few people that lingered, and we said, okay, where are we going to go now? Right? And we go to an uncle's house, or we go to our home, we go anywhere, but we just kept just talking and talking and playing more music. We just hugged, said goodbyes. And after, we would watch football all day, of course, you know. It's the 1st of January. Now, please tell me, what would you rather do? Would you rather make list of all the wrong stuff that happened throughout the year? Or sing?
Sing.
And rejoice. I mean, there's something about that choice, isn't there? Because it just changes your outlook. Now, the psalm today suggests something very emphatically. It suggests that we praise the Lord, right? I don't know if you gathered that already. It is an inviting psalm. Praise the Lord and praise Him. Those two phrases are repeated 11 times. By the end, you know what it's all about, I'm sure. So it's an inviting psalm, but it's also an inclusive psalm. It begins by including the heavens and includes the heavenly hosts, angels and such. You know that, right? You know the things that we sing about. It's sort of like saying, come on, let's do this together. And it moves to creation. And I'm telling you, the list that it includes here, it's quite interesting. Moons, stars, the waters, the creatures of the deep, the elements. Now, notice this. Fire. Hail. Stormy winds. I mean, I don't. Are you getting this? I don't know about you, but when I saw that, I would start, what? Fire, hail, stormy winds, all these things that even bring us calamity. And that includes the animals and the birds, you know. But think about that. Even the things that we're not comfortable with, Even the elements that we would rather have away from us, and I'm sure Californians can attest to that. Eventually, it gets to the people, including leaders and kings, young and old. But notice that this is only an inviting psalm, but it also includes everything and everybody to praise the Lord. So, what's the big deal about that? I mean, why? Right? Why is this so important? Why is the psalmist feeling compelled to invite and include everything and everybody to praise the Lord? Well, first, there is a characteristic that is recognized here. It says that he commanded, that means God, and they were created, right? He commanded the stars to be in the sky, and they were there. He established them forever and ever and fixed their bounds. You remember that, right? When we read it. So this is sort of saying we need to recognize that God has made this. I'll translate in my Puerto Ricanness. It's sort of the way that I translate it in my lingo. He's the source. Right? He's the source. But he's not just the source of things. He's the source of my being. You with me?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get a little technical here. But please remember this. He is the one that has made this happen, right? Now, anybody knows Paul Tillich? I'm sure nobody does. No. and I did this on purpose. Paul Tillich is a German fellow, a theologian who came from Germany in the time when Hitler was starting to be popular. He comes to the States. He's a thinker. He's writing systematic theologies. He's trying to explain the concept of being. Now, every systematic theology that is written has two purposes. There's two needs that it addresses. One is that there has to be a statement of truth of the Christian message. And number two, there has to be some interpretation of this truth for the new generation that is present and reading that. Two things. A statement of truth and some interpretation to what it means to us. Now, I just resumed 5 volumes of writings for you. Aren't you grateful?
Yes.
You see, this is Paul Tillich's statement of truth. God is. Five volumes. All right, I'll tell you, you'd be confused. I don't understand a word he said. But I do understand this. He says, God is. And this is the interpretation. We are. Because he is. Right? Are you with me? You hear that? We are because he is. Now, again, I just saved you hours and hours of reading. This guy is just definitely way out of my league. He gets into philosophy, all kinds of stuff. But I just needed to grab on to this simple statement. God is, and I am, because He is. Now, second, based on the fact that God is what He is, toward this end of the psalm, we hear that His name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. Now, that statement sounds simple, but it's very deep, because it really qualifies what this God is. You follow what I'm saying here? It tries to focus our attention to not only the fact that God is, but why. He is alone exalted, and He is above all the earth. Now, we are used to say, oh, Abba, right? Father, little daddy, they would say, you know, this is somewhat of a comfortable, very intimate statement about God. And we do that, I know, because we feel that God is close, is familiar with us. But this God alone is above earth and heaven. He is over everything. And that also includes our experiences. The things that we go through in life don't skip God's attention. Are you with me? And it's not just that God is, but God is awesome. And that's my interpretation. I'm sticking with it. Third, there's a twist towards the end of the psalm. And this twist could be something to give you food for thought for the next year and beyond. Verse 14, it mentions that He raised up a horn for His people. Did you see that, right? Now, I have a document 25 pages long that I could share with you, but I figured it's better to let you go. A horn. I'm not going to go too much into it, but let me just say this. Those people that know way more than I do say that it signifies two things: deliverance and protection. Now, you know, it says that He created a horn, raised up the horn for His people. Deliverance, protection. That word that we say a lot, called salvation, right? Salvation can be encompassed in these two elements here: deliverance and protection. Now, maybe if you're making all those lists I mentioned before, maybe you can put those two words next to each one of those items. Notice, I didn't say don't make the lists. I say if you make those lists, if you are the ones that are counting on all these disasters and everything that is going wrong, just put those two words right next to your list. Salvation and care. But then there's the twist. He says, praise for all his faithful. For the people of Israel who are close to him. Now, that phrase could very easily just skip us. Because we're reading the psalm and yeah, praise, right. But that statement includes you. You didn't get it. Okay. Praise for all his faithful, for the people of Israel who are close to him. All his faithful. That's you. Amen. Notice that the psalm lifts praise for all of you. All of us. It says, praise God for us. If you're close to God, I think God is watching. If you're close to God, if you are connected, if you're working on this relationship, if you are doing everything in your power to consider yourself the follower of Christ, there is praise to be given. Not only to God, but for those who are doing the work. Hello? You see, that could have been skipped. But I know that this is really meaningful. It really got me. And it helped me answer a question. And it helped me answer that question that I had even from the time that we, as children and young lads and my family, were singing together during those December 31st, when I was growing up. All the fiestas that we had, all the joy that we shared. It just helped me answer a question and you say, why? Why is the question? Why all the hoopla? Why all this singing? Why all the joy? Why all the Christmas songs? Why do we do all this partying? Why is it that we promulgate peace on earth? Why do we announce that? Why? Even if we don't see it manifested, we still announce it, right? Because who has peace, right? Why? Why the hope? Now, here it is. I have the answer. Because God is. And thus we are. Which means that we can get close to him. And we can benefit from all the things that he has for you and for me. So we celebrate and we praise God because he is, and thus I am. And we give praise to God's people because of the salvation and protection that you and I enjoy. And I don't know about you, but that translates to a party to me. That's good enough reason for us to leave this place jumping. I noticed what happened there in your brain. You're like, what? Jumping? See, even regardless of how miserable it may be, I tell you something. I just read an article about Puerto Rico and what they're going on. I've heard a lot of news. I'm connected to the island. I follow it. I'm amazed that there are people going through the worst experience of their lives. No power for 3 months, no water. They don't have the house they used to have. The roof has been torn out. And you can still hear people saying, "Thank God." How in the world do you do that? Tell me. How in the world do you do that? God is, and thus I am. I'm delivered. I'm protected through His Son, Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I want to praise Him. I want to celebrate Him. I want to celebrate everything that He means for my life. Amen, amen, and amen. Let's pray. We praise You, Lord. We want to praise You. Sometimes in our minds, it just doesn't click. Sometimes, even in understanding, it just goes beyond us. But let us recognize, Father, that You are. Let us recognize, Father, that You are exalted and way above all of what is created and everything in the heavens. And still, You love me. And still, You're next to us. And still, You decide to journey through love, through life with each of us. Help us, Lord, just to keep that in mind as we look ahead to another year. Let all that happens around us don't take away from this truth, which is what really provides life to our lives. Amen.